You're listening to the FQXI podcast. We're having a string theory bonanza today. Next up is Joanna Kaczmarek, a string theorist at the University of British Columbia, Vancouver, who is taking a very different approach to the problem of time. String theorists already posit that elementary particles are made up of tiny vibrating threads of energy at the fundamental level. Kaczmarek is taking things a step further by asking whether space-time itself is made up of some kind of smaller building blocks, and whether the arrow of time emerges as these blocks are glued together, as she explained to reporter Corinne Pickemer.
At the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, in Canada, string theorist Joanna Kaczmarek is trying to understand how the mathematical properties that underlie string theory can help us find the missing link between quantum mechanics, which describes the behavior of subatomic particles, and Einstein's theory of gravity, general relativity. String theorists believe that matter is made up of minuscule vibrating loops of energy that underlie everything, and many of them presume that the four-dimensional space-time proposed by Einstein forms the fundamental stage upon which these vibrating loops and threads perform their tasks. But Kaczmarek has her doubts about this latter idea. In 2010, she received a grant from the Foundational Questions Institute to see if space-time itself is made up of even more fundamental constituents. To learn about her project and to see how far she has come in finding an answer, I caught up with Kaczmarek on Skype.
My name is Joanna Kaczmarek. I moved to Canada from Poland when I was 17. So I finished high school in Canada and I did my undergraduate at Queen's University. And then I moved to Princeton for my PhD.
When she was at Princeton University, Kaczmarek focused on understanding and applying string theory. This theory suggests that everything is made up of wiggling loops of energy that look a little like elastic bands. The different wiggle patterns or vibration frequencies of each of these elastic bands determines the unique properties of particles, such as their charge and their mass. Just like different vibrations on a violin string produce unique musical notes. One of the novel ideas around in string theory when Kaczmarek was a graduate student was the idea that string theory might depend not on normal geometry, but on what is known as non-commutative geometry.
Non-commutative geometry is just this idea that perhaps if you're looking at coordinates of, say, some particles, you know, describe, you know, one coordinate with an x-axis, another coordinate with an y-axis, and normally we treat these x's and the y's as numbers. And the idea is that maybe those things aren't actually normal numbers.
Normal or real numbers have a commutative property. This means that it doesn't matter in which order you multiply or add two numbers. The answer will always be the same. So whether I multiply 4 times 3 or 3 times 4, the answer will always be 12. But Kaczmarek wonders what it means if geometry is not commutative.
What if the coordinate that describes positions of things don't have that property? What if you multiply x times y, you don't get the same thing as y times x? How would that affect your view of geometry? And it completely changes. The whole idea of geometry basically breaks down and you have to treat it in a very different way.
It turns out that string theory naturally contains hints of non-commutative geometry in the existence of so-called D-brains.
What people know about string theory, if they know anything, is that it's about little loops of stuff. And that really is what string theory is about on some level, is that you just say, look, maybe some elementary particles like electrons, which we normally picture as point-like, maybe if you keep magnifying and magnifying and magnifying, eventually instead of a point, you see a little loop like a rubber band. D-brains take this a step farther and say, what if you cut open this rubber band with scissors? Now you get two ends. And it turns out those ants can't just flop randomly in space. They have to get it themselves attached to something. That is what a D-brain is, a place where the ends of these strings can go.
D-brains can take many dimensions and different shapes. A D-brain can be a point where both ends are stuck to the same particular point in space. Or it can be a long thread, with each end stuck along a line with frequencies running up and down them. or it could be a sheet or a sphere or any other shape. It is what happens when you put them all together that changes everything.
At the same time, if you put a whole bunch of deep brains together, right on top of each other, all in the same place, they exhibit very exotic behavior, and that's where the non-commutativity comes in. So this is how it was brought into string theory originally. People realized that, well, if you put a lot of these deep brains together, the geometry that they perceive is not our ordinary geometry, but in fact a non-commutative geometry. And so that's the way in which non-commutative geometry naturally comes out of string theory.
During her PhD, Kaczmarek focused her research on the various theories that use these non-commutative properties of string theory, and she has since been on a mission to explore the different ways in which they can explain nature.
And so the project for FQXI has been partly to see whether there's a link between the existence of these kind of non-commutative structures and certain properties of time. There is some work done by other people previously that suggests that when you do the mathematics from which these non-commutative structures arise, which are mathematics of things like we call matrix models, that these matrix models have interesting properties in how time behaves in them. When you introduce these matrix models, if you make the matrices really, really large, then, for example, perhaps you can explain the existence of the arrow of time.
Einstein's theories of relativity tell us that time is another dimension, just like space. But while we can move right as well as left in space, we can't do the same with time. Events always happen in the same order. As we age, our hair turns from a colour to grey, never the other way around, and leaves fall from trees only after they have turned golden. This arrow of time is not only true for us, but also applies to everything in the universe. The direction is thought to be related to increasing entropy, a measure of the growing disorder of the universe.
And so I looked at it and I said, okay, well, if these things have in them generically the entropic arrow of time, and if I can link these matrix models to non-commutative geometry, then maybe I can see whether a generic non-commutative model naturally exhibits an arrow of time. So this would be very interesting because you could assume non-commutative geometry and then somehow get this property of time for free.
Kaczmarek is still in the early stages of her research. Together with her graduate students, she is trying to find a good model she can use to explore what non-commutative geometry means for time.
We had now looked at a number of different implementations of what are called non-commutative spheres in matrix models. And what I was hoping for is that we could find a particular implementation of a non-commutative sphere, which we could treat as an example to demonstrate that this non-commutative geometry has interesting implications for time. But first you have to find a model which has all the right features in which you can do this. And we can't find one that's what we call stable. It's not really a resolved thing whether or not these type of models are in fact stable, meaning whether if you try to build one, it would just collapse under you. So we run into a lot of technical difficulties in this nature. We're still trying to find a model in which I have the aspects of non-commutative geometry, I have the matrix aspects, I can put them together and I can ask things about time. And we've looked at a number of models, we just haven't found the right one yet.
A major aim of this project is to find a theory of quantum gravity linking general relativity and quantum mechanics, which is currently still a great mystery. Kaczmarek thinks that the answer lies in the geometry that underpins general relativity.
Every physical model starts with some small number of assumptions or a small number of elements. So you might, for example, say, okay, you know, what do particles look like? Are there points or are there loops? But if you want to have particles, you have to have something for them to move in. So you say, well, I'm going to assume that there's space. And that's certainly what general relativity does.
And this is the crux of Kaczmarek's work.
In emergent spacetime theories, you don't put that in. You say, I'm not going to assume that space exists. I'm going to put in a whole bunch of other kinds of mathematical objects, none of which are geometrical, and I'm going to see whether geometry as we know it can emerge out of that mathematically. And the reason why that's interesting is because we have trouble marrying together general relativity and quantum mechanics, and that's really the whole point of string theory, is trying to get these two theories together. And the reason really why we have trouble marrying them together is fluctuating geometry. And so the idea is, well, maybe fluctuating geometry doesn't actually exist. We throw it out. And we start with a fully quantum mechanical model with no geometry. And then we see whether that fully quantum mechanical model with no geometry in it contains geometry in it secretly. And hope that in that way we can avoid some of the contradictions that would have appeared if we put the geometry in to start with. If geometry is emergent, then the arrow of time, for example, is a natural consequence. You can't do one without the other. So in some sense, it's like a two-for-one deal.
While Kaczmarek is building on research by others, she is one of the few who have dared to take the step of questioning how fundamental space-time really is. One of the reasons for this, she believes, is that the research has a very high risk of not succeeding. However, most string theorists agree that if the project is successful, our understanding of nature, and perhaps especially the nature of time, would change fundamentally. But Kaczmarek is quick to point out that while her findings might have an enormous impact on the way in which we understand the world, there is no need for us to throw out all of our old theories.
It would be a sort of a paradigm shift, because we would think differently about what the underlying theory is, but it wouldn't necessitate a change in how we compute many things, right? If you want to plan a mission to Mars and you want to compute the orbit of your spaceship, you can use Newtonian mechanics. You don't do anything else. You're perfectly fine doing what Newton told you how to do. If you want to build the GPS system, it turns out you have to listen to Einstein because you need better accuracy. You really need to know where your satellites are, and you really need to know how well their clocks work. So now you better have some relativity in your toolkit. But the other value of having discovered relativity is that we completely changed the paradigm in which we think about geometry. So if it turned out that this kind of emergent geometrical picture is in some way accurate, we would think very differently about our world without actually changing how we compute most of the time. We're not trying to throw out all of current science because current science works. We're trying to get at something deeper underlying.
That was Joanna Kaczmarek speaking with Karine Pikama. And you can read more about her research on our website, www.fqxi.org/community/podcast, where you'll find a link to an article about her work.